the United Hearts and how it relates to the victory of truth. And just as a, how many people were here for yesterday's talk? Please raise your hand. Okay, so not too many. So I'm just going to, as a level set for all of us, children of the United Hearts Association members, there's a couple level setting messages to help us focus as we prepare for to hear Father give the talk this afternoon. On March 4th, 2012, Jesus said, "I desire always to be united with the children of our united hearts, and that these children be united in prayer. Let us have the same goals, peace in all hearts, through holy love, and spiritual union with the will of my Father." And on March 18th, 2012, 2 weeks later, Blessed Mother said, "Please understand that when I speak to the children of the United Hearts, it is just that, all of my children who are devoted to our United Hearts." Further on in the message, she said, "The main focus is to pray that mankind be spiritually united to the divine will of the Father." Then later she asked, "Pray together and be united. Be a prayer warrior." And Jesus on June 7, 2012 said, "When I refer to the heart of the world, this includes all living souls from conception to natural death." At 2 o'clock, out in the field of the United Hearts, there will be a talk in Spanish for the Children of United Hearts about the Children of United Hearts Association. At this moment, before Father talks, we'll ask Jane to come up and tell you a little bit about the items that are for sale in the gift shop related to the Children of the United Hearts. Thank you.
Good afternoon and welcome. We'd like to tell you a little bit about some of the special products we have in our United Hearts bookstore for Children of the United Hearts. Some of the newer items that we have in, we have a Daily Prayers chaplet packet, which has the United Hearts chaplet beads and then the three daily prayers that are said by all Children of the United Hearts. We also have a red Children of the United Hearts backpack that you can wear through the property and at home. We've added some mouse pads and some coffee mugs with the consecration prayers on them. We also have still available our 5-CD set of the Children of the United Hearts August Conference available in the bookstore with all the talks, the music, everything that was done that weekend. They're wonderful to listen to. We have the Children of United Hearts prayer cards available as well. These are the individual cards with the consecration prayers and the chaplet. Now, I want to mention that the bookstore will shut at 6 p.m. today for those who are interested in any of those items. The following item that I'm going to tell you about is not available in the bookstore. Again, I repeat, it is not available in the bookstore. It's available here in the chapel. The ministry has produced a CD containing the daily prayers of the Children of the United Hearts Association and the talk that was given by our visionary, Maureen Sweeney Kyle, at the August conference. The CD has been recorded in both English and Spanish. Now, following Father's talk, we will pray the three daily prayers of the Children of the United Hearts as recorded on that CD, so you'll be able to hear it. And following the prayers, we will be giving away a copy of the CD to every person who either joins the children of the United Hearts Association this weekend are those who are currently registered members. So please stop at our table, which is by St. Jude's statue at the entrance, and pick up your copy of the CD while supplies last. And we invite each and every one of you to join us in praying for the consecration of the heart of the world to the United Hearts. We also have at the table special stickers for the Children of the United Hearts Association in English or Spanish. I will mention a little story. I was told that someone went to the 5 o'clock Mass yesterday evening in North Ridgeville, and about two-thirds of the church had on the stickers from here, and the regulars were all trying to figure out what was going on. So whether you join the association or not, get yourself a sticker and wear it today. And with that, Tom, are you going to introduce Father? Okay. With that, I would like to introduce Father Larry, who will be giving our second talk for the Children of the United Hearts Association.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Today we celebrate Divine Mercy. Praise God. Without mercy, we cannot be saved. You realize that. But first, I'd like to start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we invoke your spirit of love upon us. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse, and ignite in us the fire of your love, that our hearts and minds will be open to do your will and yours only this day and all the days of our life. We ask this to our Blessed Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. And I'd also like to bless all the holy, sacred items you may purchase here or have with you, either in your cars or your hotel. You don't need to hold them up. If the Pope can bless through the earth, I can bless through the walls. Heavenly Father, we invoke your blessing upon all these items. Whoever looks at them will be blessed. Whoever prays before them or with them will be triply blessed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Right, today's talk, if you heard, is about the spirituality of the Chaplet of the United Hearts and how it relates to the victory of truth. Now, that sounds awfully hard at first, but I'm going to break it into pieces. First, we all know something about the Chaplet of the United Hearts, but we're going to go a little deeper. And we should know what the Victory of Truth is about. We'll go deeper on that in the end. But first, I want to touch on the topic of spirituality and what is spirituality anyway. Well, actually, it's quite easy. Jesus said, come, follow me. Our response to that is our spirituality, how we do it. And it's a process of growing in love of God and neighbor. Very simple. The dictionary says, again, the way an individual, meaning you, responds through grace, to the call of Christ, an invitation to discipleship, which means a change of heart. A change of heart. Therefore, we must give up sin and unite ourselves to the Lord's victory. And what does that mean? His victory of sin over death was his paschal mystery. Therefore, we must enter into the paschal mystery, which means we must also die. Not physical death, a much more difficult death than physical death, that's death to our will. If you try to surrender your will to God totally, it's like dying. You must turn everything over to Jesus. That's why he says, Jesus, I trust in you. Not me. I trust in you, Jesus. And that's your challenge. And that will be the challenge to the day you die. Now, quickly at the Chaplet of the United Hearts, in the first two prayers, we honor the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. In the prayer that the Blessed Mother gave, she says, "My son's heart is the vessel of perfect love, mercy, and truth. Let the flame of his heart consume you and bring it to the heights of union with the Holy Trinity," which is the whole purpose of our life on earth, is to be in union with God when we die. Otherwise, what's the point? Secondly, to honor our Blessed Mother's heart, she, as given instructed, is the purest vessel of grace, which we need, refuge of holy love. And only through holy love can the battle be won. And that's really it. And holy love is love of God above everything else, and that God means above everything else and above everyone else. If you do not love God more than your spouse or your children or your parents, you still have a ways to go. When you love God above everything else and above everyone else, God will give you the proper way to love your spouse, your children, your neighbors, and everyone else. It is only through the grace of union with God that we can enter into union with our brothers and sisters. And then it goes on, and this is very important. This is part of entering into the heart of Jesus and Mary, is to meditate on the passion of Jesus. Jesus willingly died. He willingly died. And he says, but no one has been willing to suffer for someone else to prevent them from going to perdition. We are called to suffer. We are called to pick up our cross every day. The thing is, we all have crosses, but we kind of drag them along. We don't really want them, do we? It's not easy to suffer, but you've got it. You might as well just take it, pick it up, and go with it. No one escapes the cross in this world. And then Mary is seen here again, suffering with her son. She is the co-redeemer. We see that in the statue. Her hands have the red cross. This was first revealed in Akita, Japan. On one her hand, she had one cross, and it was from a wooden statue which bled. In this image here, both hands have the stigmata. She suffered the crucifixion with Jesus. She suffered the scourging. She felt the weight of the cross. She felt the spit on her face, the slap, everything. She suffered, not just emotionally, mystically, she suffered all the suffering of her son. And that's why she is the co-redemptrix. And we see this co-redemptrix in the union of their love being revealed throughout history. In 1830 in Rudebach in Paris, Catherine Laboure was visited by the Blessed Mother and was given a medal, which is called the Medal of the Immaculate Conception. And on the front, it said, "Pray for us, O Mary, who have recourse to thee." And on the back, we see Mary at the foot of the cross. And beneath that are the hearts of Jesus and Mary. This medal was so powerful, it became known as the Miraculous Medal. And then in 1854, Pope Pius IX declared the dogma, the Immaculate Conception. 4 years later, the Blessed Mother showed up to show that he didn't get it quite right. She came and said, "I am the Immaculate Conception." What the heck does that mean? Well, that great saint of Auschwitz, who died willingly like Jesus, starved to death and poisoned, he wrote extensively on who is Mary in relationship to the Immaculate Conception. And his name, of course, is St. Maximilian Kolbe, great saint. And he said very clearly that this statement by the Blessed Mother meant that it's like saying, "I am Mrs. Holy Spirit." And the Holy Father said, from before the conception of Mary in her mother's womb, Anne, she was without sin. At the moment of conception, St. Maximilian says that her will was one with that of her spouse, the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary, we find out through Maureen that her heart and the heart of her son Jesus became one. And this is revealed again slowly to Christina Gallagher in Ireland in the 80s. A matrix medal was given. This time, Mary is at the foot of the cross on the front of the medal. on the back of the medal, the two hearts are touching, and they are bleeding. They are bleeding to show the unity of the suffering. And finally, here at Holy Love, through Maureen, the hearts are one. And we see the unity of the hearts, a slow revelation like that of Co-Redemptrix. So now this is the final revelation of who Mary is in the Holy Trinity. If you want to learn more, there was a book by a French priest, but it's called The Immaculate Conception and the Holy Spirit, a wonderful book. And I can't give you the author right now. But if you track me down, I might be able to find it. So very important. And finally, in this prayer, the meditating on suffering is important. Why do you want to meditate on the crucifix and on the stations of the cross and on the sorrows of Mary? Because it should rip your heart open. It should rip your heart open so you feel the suffering. It should rip tears from your eyes so you enter into the love that is the heart of Jesus and Mary. So it's very important. And then finally, we have a nice prayer. Let my heart be joined to yours. Our heart can only be joined to God's through the grace of the sacraments and prayer. You will find out prayer is a muscle behind our life. And therefore, we must accept lovingly this cross. A little few words from the messages about spirituality, not too bad time-wise. On August 17th in 2000, Jesus said, I have come to help you realize that the very fabric of the remnant faithful is composed of holy and divine love. It is through this fiber of love that the remnant will persevere and cling to truth. Because this spirituality speaks to every soul, more and more will follow the remnant church. Jesus said on September 12th of that same year, it is my call to you. I have revealed to you as to no other the innermost chambers of my heart. While the world knew the stages of spirituality, now I revealed the way to pursue each one. Now the whole of humanity can know my heart. And this is what the united hearts are. If you've looked at the chambers of the heart of Jesus, the first chamber is holy love, which is the heart of Mary. And that is the beginning of sanctity. You have to enter into the heart of Mary to be in a state of grace. To be in a state of grace, you must embrace holy love, which is the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. Very simple. On June 17th in 2007, our Lord said, is it in fact individual efforts and holiness that will usher in my victory and bring about his defeat? Therefore, never be discouraged. Redouble your efforts toward appeasing my heart. It is only through prayer and fasting that these certain diabolical organizations will crumble and no longer promote their hidden agendas. And then he talks about the spiritual of the united hearts calls you to littleness and hiddenness. It is Satan who tries to pull you off track and encourages you to be ambitious. You must be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. I will give you all the gifts you need to be childlike if you ask. And then St. Thomas Aquinas, our great teacher, tells us on July 25th, 2008, and he gives us a list of how people can respond to the challenge of holy love. Because all of us here believe the message of holy love. We understand Jesus gave these commandments when he was alive. We try to live the message. We desire the love in his heart to be purified, and our heart to be purified. The soul is entering the first chamber of the united hearts. And then to lesser people, they recognize the value of holy love, that is the Ten Commandments, but the soul is still attached to the things of the world, power, money, reputation, the sins of the flesh. And so that person is unwilling to give these things up. And so they do not really respond. You're cheating me. I started 6 minutes late. The third level is apathetic. The fourth level is And the apathetic is probably the worst. That's lukewarmness. Jesus said he vomits the lukewarm out of his mouth. Better be cold than lukewarm. Those who do not believe and those who oppose the Ten Commandments, that is holy love. On February 20th of this year, Jesus said, "Once again, I remind you that prayer is the solution to every problem. I tell you this, for the heart of which opens itself to prayer opens to grace. It is through prayer that truth is recognized, and truth is always the path of grace. Prayer dispels confusion and error. Prayer arising from a humble heart, loving heart, is the way to victory over any evil. Prayer is the muscle of your spirituality. It must be exercised to be made stronger. Sacrifice is like a vitamin enhancing your prayer life. Neither prayer nor sacrifice can be neglected." Quickly moving to a little statements on the Chaplet of the United Hearts from the Blessed Mother on May 6, 1996. She says, "Further, the graces that Jesus desires I distribute among you at this time are the Scapula of the United Hearts, the Chaplet of the United Hearts. And together, Jesus and I will distribute the blessings of the United Hearts. For it is through the United Hearts of Jesus and Mary, the New Jerusalem will arrive." On September 7th, Jesus said, "The Holy Mass and the Holy Rosary together hold a great impact on the scale of justice. Devotion to our United Hearts is third in order of power against evil. The spirituality of the chambers of our United Hearts is great enough to pull the world back onto the path of righteousness. Therefore, along with the Rosary of the Unborn, propagate the little chaplet of the United Hearts, which will serve to lead many to the depths of these chambers." At this point, I'm going to insert some scripture, and we'll realize just how important this is, because St. Paul tells us something we don't want to hear, but has been confirmed by the Blessed Mother. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. "Let no one deceive you in any way. For unless the apostasy comes first, and the lawless one is revealed, the one doomed to perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above every soul called God, object of worship, so as to seat himself in the temple of God, claiming that he is God. Do you not recall, while I was still with you, how I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who restrains is to do so only for the present until he is removed from the scene. And then the lawless one would be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and render powerless by the manifestation of his coming. The one whose coming springs from the power of Satan in every mighty deed, in his signs and wonders that lie, and in every wicked deceit for those who are perishing because they have not accepted the love of truth so that they may be saved. Therefore, God is sending them a deceiving power so that they may believe the lie, that all who have not believed the truth but have approved wrongdoing may be condemned." So this is very important. This is not the only place in Scripture where Jesus says he's going to allow people to be sucked in by the deceiver. And this is because people desire it. And that's what you must understand. Jesus wants to save everyone, but people must choose good over evil every day. On November 11th, 2002, and this was to Maureen, says, "Many times," she's saying, "after saying the Chaplet of the United Hearts, I see the United Hearts with rose petals falling from them. This time, during the vision, I heard a voice say, 'I am Yahweh. I am who am. I tell you that it's by means of this devotion that hardened hearts can be suppliant and touched by grace.'" So you see the power of this prayer. St. Thomas Aquinas tells us on October 18th of 2011, "I've come to enlighten the world concerning the revelation of the United Hearts. As still further has been stated, God's love and his mercy are one, always united. It is also true that the cross and the victory are one, never separate. Cross and victory are one, never separate. This comes to life, for you in the recitation of the Chaplet of the United Hearts. You pray in honor of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, who in the end will triumph and reign. You then meditate on the Passion of our Lord and the sorrows of Mary. The last meditation is an atonement to the two hearts. It is such atonement that will usher in the triumph of the New Jerusalem. And finally, on August 8th, 2012, Blessed Mother says, "My daughter, I have come to ask the Chaplet of the United Hearts be part of the daily prayer regimen of the Children of the United Hearts. The intention should be for the victory of the United Hearts in the heart of the world." And finally, a little bit, looking at my time, I've got 10 minutes according to my clock. He's probably saying five, right? On February 22nd, 2010, St. Peter says, "Holy love cleanses the heart of self-interest." That's good. Holy love cleanses the heart of self-interest and redirects the heart to focus on love of God and neighbor, because lack of self-interest is the first step towards the victory of truth in every heart. Satan tries to consume every present moment with thoughts, words, and actions directed toward selfishness, self-interest. On March 13th, 2010, Jesus said, "When I return, my victory will be a victory of truth. I desire all people and all nations gather here and abide in the truth, which is holy love. Outside of holy love, there is no truth." And then on August 23rd, 2010, Jesus said, "My brothers and sisters, pray daily for holy love and be victorious in all hearts. For this is the way to peace in the womb, peace in families, and peace in the hearts of all nations. It is the victory of truth." On September 3rd, 2010, Jesus said, "It is for this reason that I urge you always to cling to the truth, which is holy love. And for the sake of the victory of truth, that this mission exists." And then finally, the last page here. You breathe a sigh, Tom. November 26, 2010, Blessed Mother says, "Today, once again, I come with my hands empty and my doorway to my heart open. I await your efforts to fill my hands with your sacrifices and to fill my heart with your prayers. Through this mission, each soul is being called to be a victim of love and a prayer warrior for the victory of truth. Prayer warriors do not surrender, but continually fight even in the face of the most formidable foes. So it is I call each of you, do not surrender in the midst of persecution, lies, and power plays. Truth will be your ally, always strengthen you in any danger. Dear children, my love is for you is omnipresent." And then Jesus, on April 8th, last Easter morning, says, "Today I come to you celebrating my victory over death. Alleluia. As we commemorate this victory, realize that each present moment holds the key to victory over sin in each heart. Realize that you would never choose sin if you understood the eternal consequences. When a soul chooses sin, it is because he believes the lie of Satan. My victory over death is also a victory of truth. It is a victory of my divine mercy and divine love. It is a victory of our united hearts. Our united hearts reign over this property and this mission. Whenever the messages are accepted in hearts, our united hearts take sovereignty over your heart. Today, rejoice that I am with you, loving you and guiding you. Pray that all find their way to the truth as you have, for this is the mission of holy and divine love. I tell you, this spiritual journey through the chambers of our united hearts is my glory in the world. It is my victory in the salvation of souls." So in summary, you see that this spirituality is our response of love of God and neighbor, and we see it detailed in the chambers of the United Hearts. And you see the first chamber of the heart of Mary. Divine love takes us into the cross. The cross. Prayer, sacrifice, fasting leads you through the chambers. to union with the will of God, and if you so choose, immersion in the divine will. As St. Paul said, I no longer live, it's Christ that lives in me. Amen. And may God bless you, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.